I wonder how many of you were up in time to see the snow this morning. How many? Anybody?
Oh, yes.
I don't know whether you've had snow in Manchester before. I can't... Oh, Salford, sorry.
Beg your pardon.
I can't remember seeing... And if you look it up, you'll find that Easter cannot occur earlier than the 22nd of March. And it doesn't happen very often. In fact, it wasn't 1913. That was that was the last time that it was the 23rd. The last time that the Easter was on the 23rd today was 1913. That's right, yeah. You're right. What about the next time? 152. Well, okay, our sources are different. Our sources are different. My source said 220 years. It's a long time, anyway. We're not going to wait, are we, for the next time? How does it all work out? It's all very strange, isn't it? Well, apparently, it's all to do with the the spring equinox. And that normally is on the 20th of March. And if you go start from the spring equinox and then go forward from that to the next full moon after that, and then go forward from that to the next Sunday, then you'll come to the time when the Jews celebrated the Passover. And it was at that time that Jesus was crucified. So it's at that time that we remember and celebrate the resurrection. So it's quite complicated, isn't it? And it varies from year to year. Okay, well, this is a very special Easter for us because of the snow, because of the time of year, but it's special always. It's special because it is the central event that we remember in the life of Christ, in the life of our Lord. It's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And without it, there would be no Christianity. Without it, we would have no faith. We'd have nothing to live for. But as we celebrate this day, and as the country celebrates, then it does so in a lot of different ways. And there are lots of things which traditionally people in this country do at Easter time. And I suppose the thing that's most obvious to us now, and for the children in particular, is the Easter egg. And I wonder if you think back, how is that feature in your life? I can go back and I can remember times when we had ordinary hen's eggs, and we would wrap cloth around and you'd boil that, and the dye from the cloth would actually go onto the egg, and that would be your Easter egg. Can anyone remember that? Nobody? Oh dear. Oh dear. We are getting old. But then, of course, many would just paint the Easter eggs. How about that? Can you remember painting Easter eggs? Hen's eggs? That's a story. But now, of course, it's chocolate eggs. And first of all, that was a solid chocolate egg, but then later it was a hollow egg, and that was introduced early in the 19th century. So we have these traditions and these practices, and this is just one of them, actually. This is a child looking for hen's eggs, and that was something which was a tradition in some parts of the world, and still is. Lots of traditions, things like hot cross buns and so many other things. But I guess for many people in this country today, that's all it is. Easter is just about chocolate eggs and maybe just about starting a bit of decorating, having a brief holiday. Maybe even putting the potatoes in. It's usually a good time for that. Bit of gardening. That's what Easter means to many people. But to us, and to all Christians, it's the centre of our lives. It's the centre point, because we depend upon it so much. Just earlier this week, I was doing a bit of work on my computer, and as these things happen, you know, you get an advert coming up. I didn't ask for it, but it came up, and this advert that came up, it promised me vast amounts of money if I did just a few hours of work per day. I thought, yeah, maybe not, you know, a bit cynical about these things, but I was a little bit tempted. I thought, well, how much does it cost? Well, it costs £40. Have I got £40? Well, maybe. Can I afford to spend it? Well, maybe. Is it worth it? Well, I don't really know, because it just says, it's just a promise. So I was, after just a temporary, momentary temptation, I decided, well, there is a way around this. I can search for this product, and I can see if anyone has any comments on it. So I did that. And there was a business site, and of course, quite naturally, this business site exposed this advert as a scam. Somebody had already downloaded it for everybody else's benefit. Someone had paid the £40 and looked at the advice that came out. And of course, the advice was totally useless. It would earn nobody, well, perhaps just a small amount of money, but certainly very little. And the only person who was going to get rich out of that scheme was the person who was putting the advert in. So, that's the way it is, isn't it? If we look at adverts, we tend to be sceptical, don't we? That adverts are there to make us buy things we didn't know we wanted. Things we certainly probably didn't need, and we weren't even aware that we wanted those things. And of course, that's why we have to be so careful with the children's adverts, because they haven't learned to be discerning. But we all fall for these things from time to time. Anyway, the adverts, you know, today, they tend to be misleading. And they are promises which are, they contain promises which are rarely true and rarely can be found to be valid. So there are lots of false promises around. But today we're going to look at not an empty promise, but a promise which is full of truth. In fact, we're going to look at three empty things which are not empty promises. We're going to look at the empty cross. And the empty cross contains a promise which is not empty. We're going to look at the empty tomb, and that contains a promise from God. And because it's from God, it's not empty. And then we look at the empty grave clothes. And again, that's a promise from God, which is not empty. So let's start with the empty cross. You know, a Good Friday is always a sad day. Even as Christians, it's a sad day, because it's a day when we reflect upon the suffering of our Lord on the cross. And that makes Good Friday a bleak day in the Christian calendar. And we are always, as we think about that, we'll always have to be sad, because that was necessary and because our Lord went through that. And it's a bleak day because it's a day when, for a moment, it seemed as though triumph, that evil had triumphed. It's a day and a time when the whole world was black for a while, because it seems like evil had won the day. And then, after Jesus died, his body was taken off the cross, taken down from the cross. And as we look at that cross now, we see the cross which is empty. The body is no longer there. And that empty cross to us now is a promise from God. Because the Bible tells us that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a promise of the cross. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this tells us that that death, which was seen to be a victory for evil, was in fact not futile. It wasn't pointless. It wasn't worthless. It tells us that when Jesus said, "It is finished, my work is complete," then that was a key point in history. It's the point at which a transaction took place and that evil was defeated once and for all. Because the truth of the gospel is that the law that separated us from God, the law of sin and death, was replaced, was supplanted by the truth of the gospel. That through Jesus, through that death on the cross, our sins are forgiven. Through that death on the cross, we have access to the Father. And though we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And though we sin, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That power of condemnation has been destroyed once and for all because that cross is empty. Because if Christ is for us, who can be against us? And sometimes I wish I had the ability to explain that better, because it's such a tremendous thing, such a powerful truth. As we reflect upon it, we can ponder on it for many hours, and yet we'll never fathom the depths of that truth. How in some way there was this spiritual transaction that took place, this transaction that took place in the heavenlies. How in some way Jesus was a substitute for us. He was the one who redeemed us, the one who brought us back to God. We'll never fully understand it, I believe. No matter how long we meditate upon that, we'll never fully understand the depth of that truth. But it's clearly stated in the Bible. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on our behalf in order to draw us back to God, to break that divide. And though we can never fully understand it, who would refuse such a precious gift? So the empty cross speaks of the power of God, the promise of God, that Christ died for us to draw us back to God. And then we read earlier about the empty tomb, and perhaps we can go on to that now. And in that passage that we read earlier from John's Gospel, we heard how Mary came to the tomb and the tomb was empty. And the empty tomb again speaks of a promise of God to us and to all. A promise that is not empty. You recall how we read earlier that Mary cried when she saw the empty tomb. And if we put ourselves in her position, she had endured that scene at Calvary, that scene before the cross. She had endured the horror of all that and the death of Jesus, her master. And who can sort of understand and appreciate the depth of sorrow in that experience? And after all that, she comes now to the burial place to anoint the body. And she finds, at least to her mind, that the body has gone and been stolen, been taken away, been moved somewhere else. What turmoil she must have gone through at that time. What anguish. And then she sees a vision of angels. And as she turns away, she sees the gardener. And said to him, "If you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus answered, "Mary." And in a fraction of a second, just a moment, that overwhelming despair is vanquished as she realizes that this is her master. And she says, "Rabboni." And that despair in a moment is replaced by joy and peace. And she begins to realize the whole significance of this event. Did not Jesus say that he would rise again on the third day? Didn't he say that he would go ahead and prepare a place for his disciples? All of this begins to take shape, and the understanding dawns in her mind. So it is all true. What Jesus said has come to pass. The empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. He has risen. Death has lost its sting. And the promise of God in this empty tomb is not an empty promise. It's a promise which is full. A promise which is true. It's the promise of eternal life for all who believe in Jesus. A promise of life with God. A promise of life with peace in the presence of God. And equally, for those who don't know Jesus, those who knowingly reject him, it's a prospect of eternal separation from a loving God. That's what it says in the Bible. That is the truth that it proclaims. So the promise of the empty tomb is the promise of eternal life in God. And so we go on now to the empty grave clothes. And the account, as we read and as we read in other Gospels as well, is that as the disciples go in, they find that the body is gone and that the grave clothes are still there, and that one piece is folded at the head. The grave clothes are still there, but the body has gone. The body was no longer wrapped in these linen cloths. Jesus had risen as he said he would. The grave clothes were empty, but their emptiness demonstrates the fullness of God's promise. Jesus himself said, as he spoke to the disciples just before that Last Supper, he said, "I will ask the Father." Well, let's go back a little bit. Jesus said, "I am going to the Father, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And that counselor was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did indeed come to the disciples, as he comes to all of us who put our trust in Jesus. And that Spirit of truth comes to lead us into all truth, just as Jesus promised. I want to come back to that at the end, because I believe that's key and central to our thoughts this morning. But as I go back and think about that advert, which was totally empty and worthless, I could have paid my £40 and I could have downloaded useless advice on how to get rich quickly. But the advert was a scam. And, as we know, most adverts are like that. But God is not in the advertising business. His promises are not empty. And his gift is the gift of life, life eternal. And that gift is free. And in a sense, you know, there's no risk. I would have had to risk my money to pay for the advice. But God's promises are free, and they are there for the taking. In a sense, they're there for trying almost. And those promises are not empty. The empty cross speaks of God's promise of forgiveness to all who trust in Jesus. The empty tomb speaks of eternal life and peace with God. The empty grave clothes speak of fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit, right now and for all eternity. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus. We read them in John chapter 7. On the last day and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But Jesus did die on the cross, he did rise again, he was raised and he was glorified. And that Spirit which he promised comes to all who believe in him. And that Spirit of God, that counselor who comes to us, is a counselor who reminds us constantly that we are forgiven. We are accepted. We can come into God's presence and we can worship him with free and open hearts. Because we know the price has been paid. That which has separated us from God has been dealt with once and for all. I cannot stress too strongly the importance of that this morning to all of us. To remember constantly that we are forgiven. We are a forgiven people. And that through that forgiveness we can know joy and peace and life eternal. And as we take hold of that forgiveness, and as we appreciate that, and as we feast upon that, to know that it means that we need to forgive others. And we need to put aside all of the bitterness which often consumes us. Yes, we are freely forgiven. And to freely forgive those around us, those who hurt us, unwillingly, unwittingly. And even sometimes deliberately. As we take hold of that sense, and then that is how the Holy Spirit comes into us and gives us that sense of that knowledge of God, and sense of joy and freedom. As we live in the presence of God, we experience the freedom of God, not to hold on to things which we don't need to. And I want us to finish this morning just with one thought, and see if I can try to get across what I have in my mind. There is this passage of Scripture which tells us that by Jesus' stripes, by his stripes, we are healed. That the death of Jesus on the cross, the suffering that he went through, was the means by which we as individuals, as Christians, are healed. And that healing is, if you like, the whole spectrum of healing. It's the healing which comes from knowing we are forgiven and forgiving others. If we understand the depths of that, then we can live a life of peace with God. And if we live a life of peace, of free from stress, then that will be, if you like, conducive. It will be the means by which we will be able to live a life which is healthy in the physical sense. It's healthy in the spiritual sense because it's a life which is dealing with forgiveness and forgiving others. And it's a life of peace with God. So in that sense, it's a life which is healed in the spiritual sense. But that can affect our physical body as well. A life which is full of stress and strain, a body which is full of stress and strain, is prone to sickness. So there's a sense in which the truth in the spiritual realm begins to affect us in the physical life as well. So when the Scripture tells us that by his stripes we are healed, then that is true in the spiritual realm, but it also impacts our physical body as well. And I believe there is a sense in which, when the Scripture tells us that by his stripes we are healed, there's a sense in which, as we take hold of that and as we grasp that, then there's a sense in which we can be miraculously healed in our bodies if we are suffering from some ailment. There is a sense in which we can miraculously take hold of that, and God will honour that and heal us. But there's also, in addition to that, there's a sense in which that is a promise to all of us. That is, if you like, the consequence of living at peace with God, living through the Holy Spirit, living a life which is where we recognise that we are forgiven and we forgive others. It's a life of peace. And as we take hold of the cross and the reality of the cross, how it's brought us back to God, there is a sense in which by his stripes we are healed, is a natural consequence, if you like, of just taking hold, not only of that fact in our mind, but of taking it into our very lifestyle, if you like, and living a life which is free from bitterness, free from envy, free from those things which bring us down and separate us from God. And just to finish off with, I'd like I don't think I've got the scripture reference. Can you put it up for me? The last, I think it's John 7. Perhaps somebody can tell me where it is. Oh, if you go one more, it'll tell us on there. Can you click one more? I think it's John chapter 7. John 14. All right, way out. All right. Okay, and verse 19. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And Jesus goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. Jesus is talking and describing how he's going to die. But you will see me. After this death, you will see me again. Because I live, you also will live. Think of that, the promise that Jesus gives to his disciples. Because I live, this life after death, if you like, this life with the Father, because I live, you also will live. Because Jesus has done this for us on the cross, we too have life with God eternal. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Because I live, because Jesus rose from the dead, you also will live. And just to finish with, I want us to contemplate upon the quality of that life. The quality of the life that Jesus promises to all of us. That is our inheritance in Christ. That is the promise for us. The kind of quality of the life that Jesus had with his Father is promised to all who believe and follow him. Because I live, you also will live. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do just want to thank you for the wonder of this day, for the glory of this astounding day. And Jesus rose from the dead. And through that, all the promises of God were fulfilled in him and through him. And Lord, this morning I pray that you will enable us through your Holy Spirit to take hold of all of those things which would make our lives different. That we might experience that same fellowship with God that Jesus experienced. Lord, help us to take a hold of this life with God that has been promised. May it be a reality in our experience. Amen. I don't know, John, whether this is a good time or not, but if anyone does want to be, would like prayer this morning for sickness or any kind of prayer at all, then please feel free to ask and we will pray with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. It's very thought-provoking and penetrating stuff. Because I live, you will live also. I mean, not just words, are they? Like the advert. Jesus proved it by rising from the dead. So. Because he lives, we live as well. Tremendous promise. Okay, there's one thing I did forget to mention earlier, and that's Sarah and Joanna off to Belarus this week, Thursday, to visit the families and see the situation there in Belarus. So we'll pray for you while you're away. So they're going on Thursday and they're coming back Monday or Tuesday? Oh, a full week. Right, okay.